Thank you. It's a privilege to be worshiping with you. My name is Jared. I am the pastor here at Pine Grove Baptist Church, and it's, an honor to be worshiping with you. If you're a guest with us, welcome to Pine Grove. Welcome to our church. We begin a new series today, and I'll speak to that. Before you get settled super comfortably, I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet, open in your Bibles to the book of 1 Chronicles, Old Testament book, 1 Chronicles. It starts with a CH if you're unfamiliar. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. I wanted to catch you before you got comfortable. You may not have a Bible in hand. It will be on the overhead projector behind us. You may have an electronic tablet. I'm reading from the New King James Version. We find these two verses, which will be the focus of our sermon series in the next couple of weeks. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called him Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. God heard, God responded, and God granted him his request. This will be our focus this morning. Before we sit down, I want you to look to your neighbor and introduce yourself. Welcome them to Pine Grove Baptist Church. Don't be a wallflower or a turtle. All right, you can find your way back to your seat and be seated. Those of you that remember Pastor Greg, he would say, give someone some Pine Grove sugar. In light of all that we've been through in COVID, let's not be kissing on folk, but it is good to have you at Pine Grove Baptist Church. It's truly an honor. I begin this morning, before I set up this, just a few housekeeping matters while your attention is fresh. As Lacey shared at the announcement portion, we do have an Engage membership lunch. We want to extend that invitation to you. If you've been journeying with Pine Grove for some time and you're ready to take a step to membership, to commitment, to making this place your spiritual home, I invite you to participate. All that we ask of you is to jot down your name on the table in the church foyer so we have adequate preparation in the food. But this is a time for you to connect and join us in the mission of helping people find and follow Jesus. Engage membership next Sunday, beginning right after the service or when the pastor finishes his sermon. That's in the fellowship hall. Also coming up, November the 19th, we have a church fellowship team, and we are going to host a Friendsgiving of sorts for you and I here, the family of Pine Grove Baptist Church, in the fellowship hall, a Thanksgiving meal. After service in the fellowship hall, we invite you to stay back. The church is going to provide the ham and the beverages. We're asking you, the body of Christ, the membership, to bring side dishes that goes with ham and desserts. Please be in thinking about that. Stay with us. That will be, again, immediately following the service, November the 19th. And then also, Pastor Travis Moody, who pastors Union Baptist Church, has invited this church, our fellowship, to join his church in a revival series. It kicks off this evening, and it runs through Wednesday night. Pastor, why are you telling us this? I'm the opening act. So not that I'm, but I invite you, if you're interested, we're going to be in revival meeting with Brother Travis and a couple of other pastors throughout this community. Starts at 6:30. I'm going to take you to the Lord in prayer. As we do so, we've been asked to lift up a man in our community named Jeff Cherry. He's the owner of Cherry Restaurant. He was in a very severe motorcycle accident, I believe, last night or Friday evening, and he's fighting for his life. So we've been asked to just ask prayer warriors to come in and pray alongside of Mr. Jeff and his wife, Jessica. So I'm going to invite you to bow your head in faith and pray with me, and also the reading of God's word as we start our sermon this morning. Father God, we come humbly to your throne room of grace. As a people, we come in a posture of humility, and we're crying our dependency to you and you alone, God. We pray for our friend Jeff and this accident that he has had. Father, we know that there are major complications facing him currently. We're asking for the protection of life. Father, I pray over him. You are the great physician. You are the great healer. All is within your power. By faith, we pray unto your will in heaven, Father, for this man. I pray that his salvation has been settled. His name is in the book of life, Father, but we're asking that you touch him and revive. We ask for his wife, Jessica, as she's standing by and praying that a peace would pass over her in this very dire time. Father, we turn our attention to this sermon here in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I pray for spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. The Word of God tells us both are a gift from you, Father. Help us to lean in and to understand what you have for us moving into this sermon series. I ask, Father, that the Holy Spirit will be released. I pray that he is welcome to move and to minister, to convict and to challenge. We rebuke in the name of Jesus Christ any evil activity, demonic, that wants to deceive, destroy, and take away from the truth of the Word of God. Oh, how we love you, King Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So we start today. If you're a guest with us and haven't been in church for some time, you picked a great sermon to be present, a kicking off the next several weeks to the end of November. We'll be talking in part about this series entitled, Why Not Me? And I wanted to tell you where the sermon series was birthed and kind of give you some context, and then we'll jump forward. I have been following, like many of you, the one-year Bible reading plan. If that's you, just shout out amen. Okay, a few of you. The rest of you, we welcome you to join us. It's a systematic reading of the Bible through the year. So when you start January 1 to December 31st, you would have read the entire Bible. It's pretty encouraging. On July the 7th, we were reading 1 Chronicles chapters 4 through 5, and these two verses just jumped out at me. It's a passage that I have known most of my adult life and have heard about Jabez, but for whatever reason, there was a resonating in my spirit about this man named Jabez and the prayer that he prayed. So I wrote the prayer down, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, on a note card. And I've been keeping note cards, and a part of my daily time with God is to read his word and then go through these note cards and pray back the word of God and just to listen. I'm not trying to tell you how super spiritual. That's just my practice of spending time with God. And I started reading and praying, and I was like, God, I'm not Jabez. What right do I have to pray a prayer of Jabez when I'm not Jabez? And these words have come to me these last several months. He said, yes, you're not Jabez, because Jabez had a very specific plan for me. But I remind you that I'm the God of Jabez, and I'm also the God of you. So what God did for Jabez, he can do for you and I. And the series is, why not me? God, and I ask this of God, if you did it for Jabez, why won't you do it for me? If God did it for Jabez, why doesn't he do it for you? If God did it for Jabez, why doesn't he do it for this church? In the impact that we will have in this Tri-County community and even to the ends of the earth, why not us, God? Humbly, it's a cry that God uses us in ways that we can't even begin to imagine. Can I just tell you my heart is sick and tired of us just doing church for church business. I'm sick and tired of just coming and doing and raising hands and going home and having no change, no transformation, no power, no impact. I am seeking God that he falls on this place of worship. He falls in your life, in my life, and we begin to do things that are, I don't know what it looks like, but I'm praying this. So over the next 4 weeks, we were going to jump in and dive out specifically to the prayer of blessing, the prayer of expansion of territory, the prayer of pain, and the prayer from pain and evil. But it was too much to do in one sermon, so we'll divide out today's topic. We step back and we just look at this idea of prayer. But in so doing, I want to remind you, many of you, you don't know 1 Chronicles, you probably haven't read it in some time. The author is a man named Ezra. He also has a book of the Bible accredited to his name. He was an Old Testament scribe, worked in the priesthood, wrote down, many believe he's the writer of this book, 1 and 2 Chronicles. As you read, and maybe invite you to do so, chapters 1 through 4 is just a series of this man begot this man, and that man begot that man, and it's a genealogy of the people of Israel, and it's a little hard. Like, okay, I don't know. I can't even pronounce these names, let alone who are these men. And then out of nowhere, it's almost like the writer stops, and he clears his throat, and he says, and Jabez, and he gives a fuller explanation of who this man was and what he prayed. And then you jump back into verse 11, and it's these crazy names, and we move forward. The genealogies that are recorded in 1 Chronicles is God's description of his hand specifically on the man of David and the family of Judah, that God would bring the Messiah through this lineage, Jesus Christ. It was to the banner of hope and love for his special people, Israel, and then you and I as the Gentiles that have been grafted in. It's a bit of context to where we are in 1 Chronicles. In a sense, it's the roll call of the family of Israel. But as we just read moments ago, verse 9 says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called him Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Jabez, the Hebrew word, means pain. Now, I don't know how many of you have had kids long ago, and today's children's names are just weird at times, different. But there was a time when a name that was given, specifically in your Old Testament, a name projected a revelation or a prophetic word over that child. So what good mama is going to name their baby pain or sorrow? Like that's hard to imagine. So this young man, as he begins to understand, walk, and do life, he reminds himself that I am painful. I am sorrow. What a poor self-image and sense of identity to know that you are a source of pain. Why was that? We really don't know why she named him pain, but we can speculate possibly he had a birth defect. Possibly the dad bailed out, and she's a single mother raising this child of other siblings. Possibly the home is already crowded, and dad's trying to work to make ends meet, and it's just one more mouth to feed. God, thank you for your blessing, but man, this child is going to be painful. I say all that to say I don't know where and why she does this, but I want you to understand, though pain was Jabez's banner, pain was not his destiny. And for whatever reason, God's sovereign hand falls and he hears and he does something for a man that was titled and tattooed as pain and sorrow, but God had a greater purpose. Can I just tell you right now, I don't know where you are in life. I don't know where you walked in these doors, but where you are is not where God wants you to stay. And that's not health, wealth, and prosperity. That's because a good father, a loving father, your heavenly father wants the best for you, his son and daughter. If you're not a believer of Jesus Christ, if you haven't committed to that, his greatest request, his heart is for you, that you would come to a saving knowledge through his son, Jesus Christ. However you find yourself this morning, God wants more for you. So I start with a question, and it's going to be a silly question, but take it seriously. If you had a choice, would you desire to live an ordinary life or an extraordinary life? Ordinary or extraordinary? See, ordinary, though I say it in a way that's derogatory or kind of like, why would you choose that? Ordinary means comfortable. Ordinary means convenient. Ordinary means I know what is expected of me in this role, and I'm good with that. In fact, I can thrive in that. But when you step over to extraordinary and you step into a life of faith and obedience, it's not so comfortable. It's not so convenient. I really don't know what I'm supposed to do over there because it's a new journey with God. So I just humbly ask you, though many of you said, yeah, I want an extraordinary life, do you have the obedience, the trust, and the faith to step over the line and begin an extraordinary journey with Jesus Christ? That's where I want us to go these next several weeks. I pray that your spirit says yes, and your hands and your feet respond by faith to what God is inviting you to do. Again, the last statement of that question, what do you think God wants for you? Just to do church for church's sake, or to create a new love with the Father through the Son, an intimacy and an overflowing abundance of joy, peace, love? What if you discovered that prayer is one of the distinguishing marks of an extraordinary life as a child of God? It's like, chocolate ice cream, vanilla ice cream. I don't really care. You just give me what you want. Isn't that how we treat prayer? Though some of you don't know this, prayer is a vital part, a discipline in your growing relationship with God. Others of you know that, and you're like, yeah, I'm good. What if we locked into and understood the power of prayer? Jabez is recorded in the Word of God, not for what he did, but for what he prayed. Jabez was a man of prayer. For the remainder of our time this morning, I want to turn our attention to prayer, specifically to bring encouragement to you out of God's Word. And I ask another question, rather silly, but I ask, are you satisfied with your prayer life? You don't have to answer out loud, and don't drop me a text. But asking in your spirit, God, am I where I need to be in my prayer life? As your pastor, or as pastor of this church, can I just tell you up front, prayer is hard work. Like, it's not hard to move your lips, but to lean in and do the work of intercession and obedience and listening, it's hard work. And many of you are like me, you've tried it and you've grown discouraged because I pray, but it doesn't seem to work. I hear you, Pastor. I hear you, God. I read your Bible, but I pray and nothing seems to happen. I'm wasting my time. So I'd just rather not. We teach our children to pray over meals. We say our prayers at bedtime. If your loved one is in the hospital or having surgery, we'll drop a prayer. But really, do we really pray as the Word of God tells us? Pastor James Merritt made this statement. If we believe what we believe about God, rewind. If we believe what we believe about God is true, and if what we believe about God, rewind again, just messing this up slowly. If we believe what we believe about God is true, and if we believe what God says about prayer is true, then you and I would have to agree that probably the greatest source of untapped power in your life, in my life, and the life of this church is prayer. That was a lot. I'm not going to read it again because I messed it up three times. The untapped source of power in your life, your family's life, the life of this church is prayer. Again, I step back and just give you a few words of encouragement, words of reminders about prayer as an introduction to this text and the sermon series we begin. First and foremost, if you're new or just as a reminder, God hears prayer. God hears prayer. And some of you are like, yeah. Others of you are like, I don't know. Let's read 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10. We read again. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him his request. Verse 10, very beginning words, Jabez called on God. That means Jabez prayed to God. Jabez prayed. Can I just clarify for you, prayer is not bargaining with God. You ever found yourself in a pinch, a rock in a hard spot? Buddy, you're throwing up prayers like Hail Marys. God, if you get me out of this, if you let this go through, if I just pass this test, get out of this ticket, and this officer doesn't see me speeding, I will do for you, God. And you make a bargain. Really, you make a promise, and then you break your promise. But that's another conversation. Prayer is not bargaining with God. Prayer is not making demands of God. Prayer is not asking for new things because your old things have grown boring. Prayer is not bothering God and taking up his time. Prayer is not a way to manipulate or control God. Prayer is not a way to show off to your spiritual neighbor just how spiritual you are, because you can pray for 20 minutes and we all fall asleep, right? Prayer is not these things. Pastor, what is prayer? Prayer is talking to God. Very simple definition. Prayer is talking to God. God hears prayer. Prayer is talking to God, which means God hears you talking to him. Let's pause for just a moment. God hears. what you say to him. How do I know that? Because the Word of God tells us that God is sovereign and God is all-knowing. God hears every one of your prayers. However, is God tuning into your prayers with an intent to answer them? But you just told me God hears my prayer. He does hear your prayer. But is he listening with the intentions to answer your prayer? Well, what kind of God does that? Who tells us to pray, then he's not going to answer our prayer? And that's not what I said. Is he listening with the intentions to answer your prayer? You mean God? Hold up. Yes, God wants you to pray. He's created prayer as a means by which you and him can enjoy a fellowship. You can discover his will through prayer. You can seek his provision through prayer. However, there are some circumstances that cause a barrier between you and God. Did you know that? Like, it's not just an open, like, jump on I-75 and pray there's no accidents and run high and tight to Atlanta. There could be some things that cause it to slow down and could cause it to stop. It could be some things in your life that completely just kind of put God, this is not what he does, but he puts his fingers in his ears and says, I'm not listening. That's an illustration of extreme, but Pastor, what would cause God not to listen to my prayers? Several things, but the one I want to address in a moment together, when we choose to hold on to sin, rather repent and change, God will not tune in and respond to your prayers. You're like, ooh, but I'm a sinful person. We all are sinful people, top to bottom, left to right. We are all plagued by sin. But as a child of God, if you know to do right and you don't do right, the Bible calls that disobedience. Disobedience is sin. To know what to do and not to do it is sin. To be living in a place of habitual, chronic, sinful activity and then praying back to God that you would bless these activities, do you really think he's going to give credence to your prayers when you have blatantly said, I got this, mind your own business? Now, and you don't do that. The neighbor on your row does that. No, he doesn't. What does that look like? Respectfully, in an age and time when sexual immorality is rampant and it's all shapes, colors, and flowers, for the man and woman who are children of God, choosing to live together, having a sexual relationship, and then the audacity to pray to God that you would bless our home. Now, again, you don't do that. My grandparents said, that's shacking up. My parents said, cohabitating. My generation says, we love each other and this is how we're going to do life. It's sin in the eyes of God. Respectfully, if you're looking for the blessing of God, but you're going to walk around and cherry pick and ignore parts of your Bible, but living in the obedience and the covering and the favor of a holy God, but you're not going to do some things, it creates a major barrier in your prayer life. So God says, repent, confess, repent, and change your attitude. To the illustration, for many of you that are living together, cohabitating, you even made babies together and you haven't married her. Brother, get off the pot. It's time to do something. I understand that your finances are entangled. It doesn't make good sense for us to separate and try to figure this stuff out. You made the mess. But God will bless when you walk in obedience. I'm challenging you to hear the word of God, to do what you're supposed to do in the eyes of God and walk in the obedience to the word of God. I know I'm picking on some folks. I'm not trying to, that's not my point. But Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9, if anyone turns a deaf ear to my instruction, even their prayers are detestable before me. Pretty serious warning. And we can pick a whole litany things of where we fall short, where the people of God walk in chronic, habitual disobedience, and yet we expect God just to rain down blessings. Go figure. Before we move forward, God hears your prayer, but there are some things that we have to be doing. Can I give you just a secret ingredient to an effective prayer life? You want to get your pen out, bust out your phone, write this in the notes. The secret to prayer is abiding in Christ Jesus. That's all you got, man? That's all you need. John chapter 15, verse 7. Write that in that same note in the margin of your Bible, the notes of your phone. The abide, if you're unfamiliar with that statement, abide means to remain, to live, to continue in this relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I just speak to you frankly? I'm so excited that our church is experiencing baptisms and men and women and children are confessing Jesus Christ in obedience, walking through the waters of baptism. But if I can tell you in an historical sense, and I've been in this church for 25 years, what that looks like moving forward out of where we have been is many folks have gotten wet and they'll be with us for a season and then they're fixing to flake out. Well, that sounds very upsetting, Pastor. Why are you being so negative, Pastor? That's the reality that where we have walked. But can I challenge you, and as the people of Pine Grove Baptist Church, no longer are we acceptable just to get them wet and check off a box that we baptized so many people. Can we rally together to help these spiritual children, these infants in Christ Jesus, grow into a relationship, into an understanding that they are to be obedient and following the Word of God and becoming like Christ in character and deed? That is our job, collectively. And someone's like, no, bro, that's your job. And respectfully, that is part of my job. But you look around this room, how does one person effectively disciple 200 plus people? That's silly. That's crazy. That's, can't use the other word. My daughter's like, that's a bad word. That's not feasible. But an effective church is a church that is growing disciples. And part of that discipleship is the secret to intimacy with the Father. Jesus did not die just to give you a piece of paper to walk into heaven one day. Jesus Christ died that you may have a fellowship and a relationship and an intimacy with the Father through Jesus. And it's a daily time in the Word of God. And the people of God said, amen. And the rest of you, we're going to pray for you. God hears prayer, but there are barriers. The secret is the intimacy and abiding with God. Secondly, a second encouragement or a second reminder, God heeds prayer. He hears and he heeds. What does heed mean, Pastor? It means to pay attention to take notice of. We read one more time, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would not keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. Here's our point. God granted him what he requested. God heard his prayer, the beginning in verse 10. God heeded his prayer and God responded in a favorable way to the prayer that Jabez prayed. Again, that's fantastic for Jabez, but what about you and I? I feel like, at least in my experiences, prayer in some senses is like putting four quarters into a vending machine, trying to receive a Pepsi, and the machine eats your quarters. You been there? And then we get some colorful language, some Taekwondo action. You're pressing the button obnoxiously. You're slapping the glass pane. If you're strong enough, you're rocking the vending machine. The lady down the hall is like, what are you doing? It stole my money. Frustrated, you realize that your hand can't reach up far enough, even after you put your child's hand in there to receive that Coke or Pepsi. You, in frustration, wave your hand and you walk away. Many of us have given up on prayer because while it is something we know we're supposed to do, we just feel like it doesn't work and we give up. You don't need to say amen because I know where you are. It's where I have been. That's not true. That's false. God hears, God heeds. But I want to explain to you how God answers prayer. This is like growing from elementary school to the middle school. It's a growing and a maturity in your walk with Jesus. Three ways that God answers your prayers. And I want you to jot them down. I'll give them all to you at once, but give you explanation. God answers our prayer sometimes with a direct response. As we see in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10, he prayed, Jabez prayed, and God answered, and it was a direct. You prayed, and it's like God said, you got it. Yep, thumbs up, emoji, hashtag blessed. You're good. God answers that way. And those are really encouraging times. But I would say that is not the norm as you're walking with Jesus Christ. It's possible, certainly. But more likely, the next two are the realities that we experience as we walk with Jesus and we're praying and growing in our understanding of God. Direct means yes, absolutely, thumbs up, good deal, moving forward. But the second response sometimes is a delay. Sometimes God says, yeah, I'll do that, but just not right now. And you're like, well, why? How many of you got small children? And there's that S word again, that three-letter word, why? Why do I have to brush my teeth? Why do I have to wash my hands? Why do I have to put on nice clothes? Just do it. Don't ask why. We're telling you, stop arguing. God's like, I hear you, I'll respond, but I'm not going to respond right now. There's a waiting period. Why do we have to wait? Simply as an encouragement, because God not only wants to give you what's best, God wants to give you what's better than you think is best. And God says, I will give it to you when you're ready to receive and you're able to handle what's next. In this coming series, we're going to talk about opportunities of expansion of territory. And there's a character component when the blessing of God falls on the people of God or the place of God. What do you mean a character component? If the foundation isn't settled, the poison of pride will crumble the building God is building. Now, that's a lot of words and a lot of wordplay. If the blessing of God falls, and I'll explain that in the next Sunday, in fact, if it falls and comes and we walk in that favor, if the character, if the foundation, if the root that goes deep is weak, what God is going to build will crumble because his people were not ready to handle. So my prayer has been, God, if I'm not ready, get me ready. I don't want to miss the bus that you're doing. But also, if I'm not ready, get me ready. And I said that like tongue in cheek. Like, I don't know if I really understand what that means to get me ready. But I'm ready to walk through that so that you and I can experience a fresh touch, a fresh vision, a fresh direction, and serve this community with freshness, power, and love. Because God has done something in us, and now we get to serve others around us. The delay might be, I got something so magnificent in store for you that it would literally blow your socks off, but you're not ready for it. Don't be that person that settles for less than best because you don't want to work for what God has the best for you. Let's not be those people. Lastly, direct response, a delayed response, and then this is the uncomfortable one, the denied response. It's like, no. And nobody likes to be told no. I don't see my brother in here. If you're in here, raise your hand. Nope, too bad. Nope. I can vividly remember my brother and I pestering my dad. And he told us no, and had told us no. And then he would tell us, what part of no don't you understand? And me and my brother being just, well, why? And how come? And we did not want to accept the answer of no. And I find myself with a bit of deja vu telling my same kids that same statement. I've turned into my father. Oh, my goodness. And you, too, are shaking your head and nodding because you know what it's like. Telling those grandkids, telling those niece and nephews, telling those children, no. No is an appropriate word. It's a healthy word. We must receive the word God gives us. No means no. God is wise enough to know that if he gave you everything you asked for, you'd get a lot of stuff you wish you didn't have. Let me read that one more time. If God is wise enough to know if he gave you everything you asked for, you would get a lot of stuff you wish you didn't have. How many of us, don't raise your hand, how many of us can say, thank you, God, that you didn't answer my prayer and I married that person? I thank God that I am married to the most wonderful woman in this world. But if God had answered my prayer, Kellyanne Braswell would not have been my wife and we'd be singing a different song. Who knows where she would be? No. Answering prayer. If God had answered my prayer, I would not be standing pastoring Pine Grove Baptist Church. In all truthfulness, God knew better. If God answered my prayer, I might be pastoring, but it wouldn't be standing in this pulpit where my dad once stood. If God answered my prayer, my life would not be where I am today with the beautiful children and the beautiful wife and a beautiful church and the privilege to stand and preach God's holy word. So thankful. And like you, I believe you could say, I am thankful for you, God, that in that time you said no, I was hawked off. I was madder than a wet hen, but in hindsight, I can see and I can say thank you and I can appreciate you telling me no, but you had something way better in store for me. Praise you, God, for that. God answers prayer. He hears your prayer. He heeds your prayer, but your response, his response may not be what you desire, but God's way and God's direction is always perfect and good for you. I want to finish by a way of encouragement for the discouraged or even the doubter that, as we said previously, you tried prayer and you're good with that. You appreciate these words, but reality is you're going out of these doors not to give two more thoughts about what we just talked about. I want to speak to you for just a moment because I believe Satan has deceived you. Pastor, you believe in Satan? I believe in Satan, yes. God is greater than Satan. Jesus Christ defeated Satan. Satan is not, yes, he's our enemy, but he should not be thwarting or stopping what God does in your life. Satan wants you to think that God doesn't have time for your prayers because really God's running this world. And who are you to pester the God of the universe with your piddly request? That Satan has lied to you and God stops. God sets the pen down and he gives you full attention when a heart that's obedient to God brings the prayer and he says, my child is speaking, let me listen. That's our God. Satan whispers the lie to you that because you failed God, because you have disappointed God, because you've made promises and you bargained and you didn't uphold your end of the deal, then you should stop praying to God because really you're a phony and a liar. Satan says, keep your mouth shut. You should say, Satan, you keep your mouth shut because you're a defeated liar yourself. I'm a child of the King. Jesus Christ lives in me. The Holy Spirit says, come to the Father in prayer. I'm going to my dad. Don't stop praying. Satan reminds you that because of your doubt or your anxiety or your fear or your struggle or your addiction or the habit that you cannot kick, that make because of these things in your life, you can pray, but they are powerless and ineffective. That's a lie. When you get right with God, confessing of sin and coming in the obedience and the humility, God listening, God heeds, you don't stop praying. My encouragement, don't give up. My encouragement, don't let go of hope. My encouragement, do not go silent on God. God loves you. Talk to him. I want to invite you over the next, for the month of November, to mark these two texts, these two verses, 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Starting tomorrow, read the text, pray back the text, and just sit there in silence. How long do I sit in silence? And I would tell you until God speaks, but that may be that's a big step. So just start with 2 minutes. And we're wrapping up. But you know, and I'm learning, if you're doing all the talking, you're a capital jerk. Like, shut your mouth. And you know those folks that you get around them, and they have a one-up, they have an answer for, and don't be that dude or dudette. Pray, stop, and let God speak. Simple request, two verses, take you 30 seconds. Take a timer, open 2 minutes, and listen and start there. And let's see what God does over these next weeks as we engage with God in prayer of a man that prayed to God, and God heard and responded and granted him his request. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes and bow your heads. I'm going to close this in a word of prayer. Our praise team will be coming up to lead us in a song of response. Our encouraging team will be on the front in just a moment. As our eyes are closed, our heads are bowed, I want to give you a chance for those of you that you know in your heart you do not have a relationship with God. You tried praying, but your prayers haven't got any farther than the ceiling because you do not have the blood of Jesus Christ over you. If you would like to begin a relationship with God through Jesus Christ right now, I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer to yourself right where you sit. By faith, God hears. By faith, he responds. By faith, you invite Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior. If that is your desire, right where you are, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, pray this prayer to yourself as I say it aloud. Dear God, I confess I'm a sinner and I need help. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sin. I believe he paid my debt, God. I invite Jesus into my heart. I invite Jesus into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. Help me, God, to live for you every day forward. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. If you prayed that prayer, would you just lift your hand up right where you are? I'm going to pray over you. Pray where you are. Hands are up. I see those. Thank you. Set your hands back down. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. For the hands that have been raised, God, you see, you know, and you've made your notes in heaven. For the ones that have had their hands held high, I pray that we as a church can rally around and help them grow as a disciple and a child of yours, God. Give us the strength and the obedience to be the example and the disciple maker for these. God, I pray for the rest of the church family that is sitting and listening. I pray that you light a fire in our prayer life, that you put a conviction and a passion to be men and women of prayer, because prayer really does move the hand of you, God. In the obedience to Jesus Christ, we say thank you and amen.